Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have one brother today, Taj Jackson.
Hello.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Not only to you, but to all of our listeners. It's January 1, 2020, so not only is it a new year, it's also a new decade.
You sound a little different on the mic.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like your nose is stuffed.
It is.
I know.
And we're going to talk about why. But first, we have to remind everyone that we are live on the Power of Love Show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will be opening up questions via Twitter. We should just open up Twitter and the phone lines now. We need to change this script. It's 2020. It's new time. So we
2020,
are.
2020, yeah. Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. Don't confuse me, man.
I know.
It's 2020, so we're going to go ahead and open up Twitter as well as the phone lines from the get. Twitter handle, Taj.
Yes, it's at DDJ Foundation.
Okay.
That's at, and it's the letters DDJ and Foundation.
Awesome. So if you want to tweet us, if you're not feeling too confident, I guess, which you should be, but if you're just not feeling, or you have a voice issue.
Or if you're at work.
Or if you're at work and you want to comment and you want to participate. But they shouldn't be really participating if they're at work.
They shouldn't be.
That was from Taj. But if you want to be part of the show, you can always tweet us at DDJ Foundation. Or you can always call us. The number to call in is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. This is going to be a very interactive show. At least that is the plan, because we're talking about fresh starts. And before we get into more of that, we should do our disclaimer. I will go ahead and do it because Taj will not.
Nope.
We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is that you are going through. And saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. And as Taj alluded to, I am a little under the weather. I've been under the weather for about 4 or 5 days now. But what's so strange is I think this is the very first time I've had this kind of health issue. I don't want to say issue because that sounds more serious.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you talking about?
There's no serious issue. But the first time I've ever had sinus.
Really?
And Francis struggles with it, if it seems like, every other month. And I never really understood what she was going through.
Uh-huh.
And this is my first bout with sinus.
And how do you feel?
It feels horrible.
Are you more sympathetic?
I'm more empathetic or sympathetic?
Sympathetic.
We did a show on this.
Yeah.
Empathy is when you feel what others feel.
Yes.
Sympathy is when you feel bad for people, I think.
Empathetic is feeling what they feel. Yeah. Going through what they go through.
So that would be more accurate of a description.
No, because you had to feel it yourself before. So that's I asked you if you're sympathetic. Okay. Empathetic would have been if you hadn't felt it and didn't have the sinus and you felt what she was feeling.
Well,
but since you already felt it.
I'm gonna give you this. You sound very confident with your description. And to be honest, one of the issues with my sinus issue is my head kind of still hurts and it's banging, and I don't want to think that hard.
Okay.
So I'm just going to bow down and say you are right.
Thank you.
Even though you are probably wrong. But again, it's a new year, and of course, you know, we decided to do this show kind of last minute, and we didn't really even discuss topic because we kind of knew what the topic should be. Not only is it a new year, it's a new decade, and there's so much that that could be accomplished if you have the right mindset and the right ambition and believe in it. So with that said, Taj, I think we should, and you correct me if I'm wrong, we already decided to talk about new things. It's new year, but let's talk about creating a fresh start.
Okay.
Does that work for you? Or?
Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting year because this is like the first. I know last year I kind of didn't make a New Year's resolution either.
Yeah.
This is the first year I didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't.
Me too.
Like, I just literally.
Why though?
Because I last year really, like, there was no reason to make a resolution because everything was thrown out the window.
Yeah.
This year.
From the get go, right?
From the get go, it was just chaotic. So for this year, I'm just like, why make a resolution if it's just going to be chaotic and you have to...
You know what's so interesting? And we obviously didn't talk about this, but I think that is 100% accurate for myself as well. Yeah. Last year, I had so many more, I don't want to say goals, but concrete things mm-hmm. I wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them out, I thought about them, and I really planned for them. And a lot of it still did manifest.
Yeah.
But like you said, at the top of the year, we got thrown something that just messed with us,
yeah,
and really messed with the tempo of the year for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think without being able to articulate that, I think that is why I also didn't do a resolution because it was like, I don't know. I don't know if it's still a recovering thing. I don't know if it just, because the year did sneak up on me. Then 2020 snuck up.
Yeah, it did. It did for me too. I think December just flew for me.
Yeah. So, okay, so but you're okay with talking about a fresh start?
Of course, you always you know, fresh start's always nice.
What about the people, Taj, who say you don't need a certain date to do a fresh start?
You don't. It could be any day, but I think you know it's also about believing and you know and setting goals. And and so if there is a date, whether it's your birthday, whether it's another date that's significant to you, it always is nice to remember that day. You know, to set that goal and remember that day. I try and do important things on certain days. Like, you know, I'll set a goal on a certain day that I'll remember.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I just think the New Year's is a... I feel that change is in the air come New Year's Day. And I think because, although you can make that change any day mm-hmm. of the year, I feel the fact that most people are on that wavelength.
That's a good point.
You kind of have a bit more momentum and a bit more support, even if it's subconsciously, mm-hmm. which can be the difference between achieving and not achieving.
Yeah.
So I subscribe to always going for it on New Year's Day and your birthday. And is there another day that's pretty strong in terms of making a change?
Not making a change.
A specific day.
No, but I think optimism-wise, I think New Year's and Christmas are the two days that are like the happiest days, supposedly.
Yeah, I'm going to give the happiest to Christmas. I'm going to give the most...
Optimistic
one where you could create new beginnings for New Year's Day.
This is what I'm going to do.
And birthday. Yeah, birthday is probably a mixture of both.
Yeah, but that day is spread out. I'm talking about where everyone.
Yes.
You know, because it does matter. You know, if everyone's thinking a certain way or whatever.
Okay, so let's go right into it, Taj. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how to make a fresh start. So there are many, obviously, articles we can go over, mm-hmm. but this one was pretty cool because I thought. It was 10 items, and we'll see how the rhythm goes, but maybe we could set it up into two.
Okay.
But it may just be one. But it's 10 steps to making a successful fresh start.
Okay.
And I think it's important that we talk about it because people always can utilize a fresh start in some type of way of their life.
Yeah. I'm very curious with the listeners, did 2019 turn out to be the way you wanted it to be?
Yes.
And if not, what are you going to do different for 2020?
Cool. So there you go. We're going to talk about 10 steps to make a successful fresh start. And Taj raises a good point of wanting you guys to contribute, whether it's through Twitter or to call in and tell us about 2019, what went right, what went wrong, and how you plan to build and make 2020 even better. Work. It works. Okay, cool. All right. So, Taj.
Yes.
When was the last time you felt like you've been in a rut or stuck?
Stuck?
Yeah. Or maybe because you made a mistake or you suffered or...
The thing with me is I don't stay in quicksand for long. Like, I acknowledge it and then I move on. You know, because I really feel like the only way you can get defeated or fail is if you stop. So I've started... in my older age, I don't even acknowledge it that much. I just more, it's a learning lesson.
Yeah, I like that.
And so that's, you know, but I don't gripe on it. I don't, you know,
harp on it. I like your description of you feel like you only lose if you stop.
It's 100% with anything.
That's pretty powerful.
Look at all the people, and I hate to use the word successful, because successful, but the people that are happy. It's usually there's a lot of failure in between those happiness moments.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop. They didn't quit.
Cool. All right. Well, there you go. And that's not even, at least as far as I could see, one of the 10 steps.
But no, I think it's number 11.
We may add a couple, but Taj, if it's not one of the 10, I'm not going to give it to you yet. But if not, then Taj came up with the brilliant number 11.
Oh, thank you.
Well, anyway, here we go. 10 steps to making a successful fresh start. We'll start with number 1. Remember, you're not a tombstone. The only things about you that are true and fixed are your name and your date of birth. Nothing else is set in stone. Often we attribute qualities to ourselves and think of ourselves as a shy person or a little person, and we think of those things as innate and unchangeable. They are not. Believe me, I went from someone who was too afraid to use public restrooms to someone who now is able to give speeches on stage. Stop believing your own labels. Otherwise, you'll never break them.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I agree with that, but I want to amend it a little because I do think you can change your name. your birth date, you can't change. I mean, I changed my name from, I was known as Terriano, I went to Taj, you know.
Not legally. Okay, I was about to say, did you do something I didn't know?
No.
Okay.
I've been flirting with that, but okay. No, but I think that's the thing, and I think that is also an interesting thing because I forced myself to do that because Terriano in high school was very shy, and I was very shy, but going into music and going into 3T, I knew I had to break out of that shyness, and that was the hardest thing for me to do. But having kind of like a new persona and a name helped with that because it kind of dropped the label.
Yeah, real quick, by the way, that was me shooting a bottle into the trash can.
Yeah, and not far. So I know you made it, but it wasn't far.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm very skilled at that for some reason.
Really?
I don't know if it's the math in me, the athleticism, but I tend to be able to throw things in trash very, very
well. There might be a sport in that. You might look it up. There's sport for everything in the internet. You should sign up for it.
That's enough self-congratulating on myself. But, Todd, that's a good point. And here's something that I remember on a show you did. I think it was Big Reunion when I was poking fun at you. But you talked about making a different persona for 3T when you're on stage. Did you consciously really try to do that from the get-go, or was it something you just realized you were kind of having to do?
There was no way that the Terriano from high school, the shy person, could get up on stage, you know, in front of tens of thousands of people and perform. It just wasn't going to happen.
So what did you do? Did you really mentally say, I got to create this different person?
It's like,
or did you just create a different person?
It's like an actor acting out a role. Like, it's like, oh, this is another extension of me.
And do you still go into that?
It's a mixture, because what ended up happening was I liked the Taj role. And what happened is that when 3T went on its hiatus, I lost the Terriano that I really loved, you know. Like, it's weird. It's like you lose certain parts of you, because if you focus on one part of you, it's like, oh, that's I'm an actor on that one.
Yeah.
But then you think that the actor is really you. Then it's like, as you know, when the gig's gone, like, you know, the role's gone. It's like, you know, method acting. Once the role's gone and you're still in that acting role, it's like you've lost your persona of who you really were.
Right.
And that's kind of what I did. I mean, I'm not a method actor for any stretch of the I mean, but it was weird because I went through a little depression during that time period. Didn't help that I got dumped, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, that
relationship.
Yeah, relationship stuff. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you can lose yourself too.
I never really went to a different persona. Like, I know Beyoncé has Sasha Fierce, and
that's true,
right?
I think it's Sasha Fierce.
Auntie Janet. Does she turn herself into
No, spirit? But she's
there's a couple others that I'm blanking on that I know actually. Lady Gaga's another.
Well, look at Uncle Michael. Like, I mean, honestly, look at the difference between him at home and him as a person compared to on stage.
It's completely different.
It's Superman Clark Kent.
But here's the thing though. Uncle Michael was always, he's always went by Michael Jackson. For me,
MJ. Remember he wrote that thing that said, I want to be known now as MJ?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, there's this written thing of him that's saying, like, you know, he wants to be now known as MJ.
Oh, okay. So there's okay. Well, my point was, do you have to create a different kind of name, like, you know, Tariana versus Taj, Beyonce versus Sasha Fierce?
Yeah.
And it's odd me saying those back to back.
I didn't.
But does that help create this new person for you?
It's what you need, whatever you need, you know? I mean, for me.
See, I've never done that. I've always, going back to myself, to get when I was on stage, I was still I felt still the same.
Wow.
Never felt like, okay, I'm going to put on this. I just felt like, okay, it's game time.
Really?
It's time to perform.
So it's more like a sport for you.
Yes.
It's a sport.
Yes. Yeah. But it's funny because as I get older, and it's not that I feel like I need it. I just see the benefits of it because as I've gotten older, I see not self-doubt.
Yeah.
I guess it's like one question I still get asked is pressure. And nerves.
Yeah.
And the answer back then was no. And
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to feel a bit more pressure
because I understand. You're the opposite of me.
I'm like finding where you were and going back. So now it's one of those where I'm flirting with not introducing a new name to the world, but mentally going into a role before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's very interesting.
That's very interesting. Baseball is the one thing, as you said, like it didn't matter what game it was. I never was like, it's game time like that. Like baseball is the most always comfortable and confident, and
that's how.
So
I
that's
felt.
How you were like that on
that's
stage.
How I felt.
You guys seem like it. Like that's the difference.
I felt like I didn't care what happened.
Wow.
I was in control.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But okay, so that was number one. Mm-hmm. That was a good discussion. We're gonna go to number two. That was a big one to me, because I think oftentimes we critique ourselves too much to the point where we're crippling ourselves. And you know, this is something that I've learned and really have developed. Part of losing and failing is the part that you need to succeed. And that's the part that makes success so amazing. So embrace those failures, embrace that you don't know everything. Now with that said, I should read off, the description for Judge Yourself Less Harshly from this article. Don't blow off big ideas because it's just little old you. People make massive changes and achieve astonishing feats every single day. Remember, it's not where you begin from that counts. It's where you manage to get to. Take yourself a little less seriously. Learn to have fun with your fresh start rather than recoiling in horror at the thought of doing something new and unfamiliar. Expanding your life in your comfort zone can be fun. It doesn't matter if you trip up a little along the way. It's how we learn. And I think that's fantastic.
It is fantastic. I'm a little, like that for me, I like my comfort zone. Mm. But if there's someone else that I can do something with, like partner up with, I will definitely venture out and try something new.
Todd, you've always been someone who likes their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Has that changed? I know you still like your comfort zone, but are you getting more open to not being in your comfort zone so much? Or trying new things?
Are
you getting better or worse?
Same. Honestly. So, I've not I don't think I've changed since I was like 8 years old. Like I think 8 years old me and like a younger used to try things, you know. Like you know, I look at pictures and
I don't see you trying things. Like I can't really imagine you trying soccer or
at eight?
Just in general.
I feel like you're
you've always had what you liked and have always been with that.
I've always known what I've liked.
Chocolate?
We just talked about that.
Baseball?
Yesterday. Yeah. Baseball, chocolate.
And movies.
Movies and animation. And Disney. Yeah. It's there's something content with knowing what you like and just being happy with it, though, too. Yes, there's new, you know, I'm not going to say anything about movies or anything, like that, but there's been certain movies that they try something new and it ends up blowing up in their face.
But sometimes you gotta try something new and to get to new levels. And what's interesting, I think I was more like you as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
I liked certain things and I was there. When it comes, I've consciously been trying to expand my palate for not only food, but travel and people and activities, trying to just discover new things. And I actually enjoy it.
Yeah, you should though. But see, I think first, it might be subconscious because I've tried new stuff. Like I tried skiing and I tore my knee the first time I skied. you know.
That's not funny.
Went to, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to get some exercise in basketball. And then I, you know, tore my Achilles tendon. So something about me trying something like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do, it's just certain things. Okay. Like the universe says, no, you're going to stay at home.
And you, okay, that's not funny.
It's not
both,
funny.
Both ended that. In serious injuries. But what? Why I'm laughing is,
and they had so much optimism.
It like, feels would, like that's been you. Yeah. Like whenever you have been pushed or encouraged to do something new, it's always gone wrong.
It's gone wrong.
And unfortunately, but,
you
know, I apologize.
Knee pads and your brace and new shoes and stuff for the basketball season. It's like, you know, you get so for me, it's just been like that.
You know what I think it is though, too, Todd? I think you're very competitive. You're a quite competitive person. So you go hard and then you also have high expectations quick.
High expectations. I'm the hardest on myself more than anything else, but not in baseball anymore. I used to be, because I had to counterbalance. I was too hard on baseball. Like I look back and I'm like, I didn't enjoy half of that, you know.
Because you're so hard on yourself.
And I saw the difference when I actually didn't care if I struck out. I mean, I still care.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like I wouldn't for 3 days be thinking about it, you know, except for Russell Ortiz and that called outside strike that
still bothers you.
Yeah.
And by the way, for everyone who knows, Russell Ortiz was a Major League Baseball player.
My last high school at bat.
What was the count?
It doesn't even matter. Honestly, it was a ball. I ended up looking at a strike three, which is so uncharacteristic of me. First of all, if people know, I do not look at strike threes.
Yeah, you'll swing at anything.
I'll swing at anything. But the fact is I was being disciplined and I got called for a strike three and it was on Mom's Field. That's another thing.
Was it Mom's Field at the time?
No.
Okay.
But it became Mom's Field, so I have bittersweet memories of that field.
All right. Well, I don't know where we got there, but we're still on course.
This is New Year's Day.
It's a new show.
I think people like to hear what we've had to overcome, too.
Yes, for sure. Okay, Taj, so we've done the first two of the 10 steps to making a successful fresh start. The third one is get a feel for the new you. Imagine what you will look like, talk like, and how you will feel when you have started to accomplish this fresh start. Look at your surroundings and the people you are with. You may start with one idea for a fresh start, like a new career, and end up not liking what you see. So play around with the process for a while until you settle on something that looks and feels like it fits you perfectly. Make a vision that inspires you so much that you feel compulsively drawn to being that person living that life. I love this.
Yeah. Have you done that?
I have. Not to the extent of, you know, not like consciously, this is me, this is who I'm going to be in that. But I always try to, and I always try to do it year round, to be honest. But always try to put out things I want to do. Like my diet's still not where I need to be. Vegetables is something I'm still trying to incorporate more. Yoga is something that I'm going back and forth. I want to be more consistent with just for my body's health and reading.
Yeah,
I haven't been reading lately, but I've been busy, but I haven't been reading. So there's still a lot of, and there's way more, but those are just certain ones that there's still a lot of facets of my life that I want to be more consistent on. But why I like this one is because I think it's important that people understand that you are not a fixed thing.
Yeah.
And that you are, whether it's because of experiences you've had, but or because of conscious decisions you want to make, you can fluctuate and change who you are. And I think some people make the mistake of trying to be so who they are, if that makes sense, like trying to be real to who they
are. I'm this is who I am.
This is who I am. This is how I grew up, and this is how I'll always be, to the point where they kind of deflect any type of change or any type of, whether, you know,
challenge,
any type of challenge. And I think that's a very risky way to look at life.
I am completely opposite. I am very adaptable to scenarios, but that can be also a bad thing because, you know, you don't stand firm on certain things. I can definitely say the braids were something that made me a new person in that way. But one of the things that I would say with the listeners is 100% do not change for someone else. Change for yourself.
Yes.
Because then it's not permanent and you end up you know, not being happy because it's for something else and someone else. I think if you want to change for yourself, 100% do that. You know, you deserve that. But do not change to accommodate someone else. That's one of the lessons in life I had to learn, was every time I tried to change for someone else or do something for someone else, it never worked.
Mm.
Now, I'm talking about big changes. I'm not talking about, like, you know, little changes, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since you are not handling the Twitter like you're supposed to, I guess I'll handle it a bit.
Yeah. Thank you. Change.
Toria tells us the difference between a sympathetic and empathetic person. A sympathetic person is one who is motivated with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
An empathetic person is one who is able to understand and share the feelings of another.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think with this new enlightened refreshed definition of each,
mm-hmm.
I think I was more correct with
no, because you only shared that once you went through it. Empathetic means like you could feel it without, like, it, the hunger in Africa or whatever back in the day. If you felt the empathy because they were hungry, as opposed to
no, I think that's wrong. I think if we're going to talk about hunger in mm-hmm. places in the world, we're sympathetic to them. But until we actually experience what that hunger feels like, we can't be empathetic.
Mm.
Whoa.
You can't be empathetic. That's the thing.
I don't know.
I think once you experience it, you cheat. It's like those...
you can't be completely...
I'm not going to get into politics, but it's like, you know, there are certain people that, like, they veto certain laws and whatever until...
It affects them,
and then all of a sudden they're pro this or that, and that doesn't count. That's cheating. That's you know what I mean. It's like going. We did this with the civil rights. You know, like I am so appreciative of all the non-black people that were there marching with Martin Luther King. That's being empathetic.
That's being empathetic.
That's actually feel, because sympathetic's just like, oh, you know, I feel bad for them. Empathetic is actually feeling what they feel and the injustice. That's the difference.
I really don't know if that's right.
It is.
Either way, it's great to be.
I feel both. Sympathetic is your brain and empathetic is your heart.
Okay. Well, we're going to let that sit for a bit. And I'm very curious to know what our listeners.
As someone that.
You know what? We should have an English or a professional who can, you know, clarify this little debate. Uh-oh. But either way, obviously, empathy. I think you're right. Empathy is feeling. I know that. And sympathy is, you think, more mind, compassion. But it's so similar.
You feel sorry for someone, but it's...
Okay. Well, anyway, I still think when we were talking about
the sinus
issue, that was more empathetic to how she felt because I experienced it. But I don't know. Okay. So what number were we on, Taj?
4, I think.
We are number 4. Let's recap real quick. 10 steps to making a successful fresh start. 1, we had remember you're not a tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
2, judge yourself less harshly.
Mm-hmm.
3, get a feel for the new you. And number 4, set your goals.
Yes.
Make a list of concrete things you want to get rid of and what you'd like to change or achieve. The more specific, the better. It's better to say, I want to go running every Tuesday than say, I want to get fit. And it's better to say, I have to have 5 new dates this month, it's quite a bit, than to say, I want to find a partner. Give your brain a tangible and realistic piece of information to work with so it can start searching for fresh opportunities for you. Before we just dissect this a bit, 5 new dates a month, is that a lot?
Seems like it.
Seems like a lot, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Huh. I've never went on 5 dates in a month. What's the most? Well, you didn't date at all.
I didn't do. You're asking the wrong person.
I probably, the max was 3, and that I think that's even stretching. I don't think I ever went on 2 dates. With different people.
No, that's one thing. I'm thankful for. I did not have to deal with that scenario. More power to everyone that has, you know.
Okay,
I got lucky.
Yeah, we should say that. I want to clarify this. I'm not going to say 5 is a lot. As long as you're putting yourself first. But 5 was very foreign to me.
It seems like a new world, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. We talked about not doing resolutions this year. But setting goals is something that I know you believe in, like myself.
I believe in setting targets. I don't say goals.
Okay. So what's the difference between a target and a goal?
A goal, like, is a, it's almost like a game. It's like either you won or lost. Like, I don't like that.
Okay.
A target is where you want to be. Like, because I do believe that certain things you have to be flexible for. Like, you know, if I want to go to a certain place and I get knocked off course, but that actually was supposed to be where I was supposed to be, I'm still, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If I set a goal, it's like a destination. It's like, oh, I didn't hit San Francisco. I wanted to go to San Francisco. I didn't go to San Francisco. I went to
San Jose.
San Jose. But maybe I was supposed to always be at San Jose because I'm happier there. That's the thing. So I like a target. It's like you're going in the right direction.
Okay. And I'm not mad at that.
It's just I hate finite things, you know, because like win, lose, you know, it's like.
I don't know. I'm not mad at that, but I feel I'm not mad at your target. I think that's the best way, but I think it's kind of the same thing in a sense, provided you have the right mentality when you don't reach a goal.
Yeah.
Because I think it's great to have a finite goal. I really do. I just think you have to be flexible and not so harsh on yourself if you don't achieve that goal how you first envisioned you would achieve it. And in that way, that's where I agree with you. I think
if
you aim to run a 6-minute mile and you're currently at 9 and you didn't get to 6 and you only got to 6:30, I don't see that as a failure.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, because of the word goal, I didn't reach my goal, so I must have failed.
Yeah.
That, I think, is where it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
But
which happens a lot.
Which happens a lot. So I still subscribe to goal setting. I just have learned to not beat myself up if I come short.
I think the only goal that I would want to set is if I'm happy or not. That's the only goal, because that's what it all comes down to.
Yes.
Like if you, which I would never do, but if I ran 6:30 mile, I'd be happy with that, as opposed to, like, you know, yes, if I wanted to get to 6 minutes, that would.
What was the fastest mile?
Oh, you don't want to know. I was not a long distance runner.
Wow.
But to my, I was going to say to my defense, I did have a condition.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that because that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sure.
I think the audience that I'm seeing right now, right across from me, is not going to believe my condition.
No, I'm not. Unless the doctor says it's the condition, so I'm not believing.
So I'm going to save my answer.
That's a whole nother show. Okay. Number 5, Taj, let's keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Research. Once you have some clear ideas of what you would like your fresh start to look like, research the most realistic paths that will get you where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to be in a different environment? Will you need more or less money? Will certain things take up more of your time? Read interviews with people who have achieved what you would like to do. Learn some tricks and shortcuts, and the whole process will be easier. And I think this is an excellent one. And I don't think most people value and respect the power of research.
Mm.
I think whatever it is you want to be, I think we all can do a better job of really researching and seeing people who are in that situation, understanding how they got there, and really respecting the ups and downs and every little intricate and every detail that helped them get there, I think is crucial. So research whatever it is you want to be. If you want to be a lawyer, research not only, don't just do the studying, but actually research and find a lawyer, two lawyers, three lawyers that you can actually spend the day with and really see what it's like, because there's more than just the textbook and the information that will that's needed to be understood to become that happy and successful lawyer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a big fan of number 5, research.
I think that, research is everything. I think that is one of the things that we don't do as much as we should.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is do the right research. There's a lot of stuff on the internet now that is not true in anything. And I'm saying also, like, you might see someone on Instagram and say, oh, they look so happy, but they're not happy in real life. You know, that's their persona of what they are projecting. So you almost have to be a private detective and really, you know, go and research.
Well, that's why I think whatever it is you want to do, teaching, lawyer, I think you have to go beyond, like you said, Taj, beyond the first layer, and you have to experience life with that person for a bit. I think that's the best education.
100%. If you saw a lawyer, and let's say it's a she, amazing. She's doing a great job at the court, and you're like, wow, this is amazing.
She has it all.
She's talking to the jury, and she's like, they're listening to everything she's saying and all that stuff. Then you get, you're following her, as you said, in terms of. No. Like you said, if you want, you're studying her, yeah, and you, like maybe apprentice or whatever,
working for internship,
or, and then she's at the office and she's like stressed and all that stuff. You might go, that's not for me. You know, 100%. That looks glamorous, in the courtroom, but I don't know if I could do 24-hour days and all that stuff of just really stressing out and being like that. And that's where you have to make your judgment.
I was Gary Vee. Are you familiar with who Gary Vee is?
No.
I don't want to mess up his description, but I call him an empowering figure, influencer on social media primarily. Uh-huh. But he answered someone's question who wanted to become an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And the person asked, what should I do? Should I be applying to the absolute best business schools? And he said, you're not going to like what I hear, but I don't think you should. I think you need to find someone you want to be, like who's where the position you want to be, and see how you can provide service for them, and with the goal of trying to work for them and being an intern for them. Yeah. That way you'll see what it really takes and to see if it's something you want to commit yourself to. And what's so cool is because of social media, I feel like that narrative is getting out there more.
Yeah.
And I'm always been one who's been big on school and education. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to be big on school and education.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that education and understanding and learning things can come strongly from other sources.
And experience.
So I don't want to say I'm backing off of school because I still think it's very important for everyone. But at the same time, there's a lot of different ways you can learn and understand. And let's remember that the whole key in life is to be happy and to be able to take care of yourself and your family with joy and with a smile. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of being wrapped up in a job where you're depressed, down, and angry at the world.
And stressed, yep.
So I don't know where we're going with that, but I just wanted to share that. So for any listeners that are dealing or want to change their lives and for the better, I do suggest maybe follow Gary Vee. And that's Gary with V-E-E. His real name is Gary Vaynerchuk.
You don't sound confident.
Because it's a hard name. It's a name I don't know. But if you just Google Gary Vee, the letter V, you should be good. All right, Taj. So we still have 10 minutes, 5 things. Should we continue on the list, or what do you want to do? Should we save the second half for?
I would save the second half.
We're going to save the second half. Okay. With that said, Taj, what do you want to talk about? I can ask you a question.
Do we have any callers or any?
We have no callers right now.
Yeah.
Because we are going on the list.
But,
okay, let me say this. If you want to call in and contribute to our show, reminding you, call 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. But until then, I want to ask you a question.
Of course. You're always welcome.
Let's just say, I'm not going to say 2019. I'm going to say the last 3 years, 4 or 5 years. Has there been something you want to achieve that first you have achieved? And then also, has there been something you wanted to achieve that you're still not where you want to be?
I think career-wise, finish line for the race keeps moving.
Okay. And here's my take on that. I think you're 100%
correct. I know I'm 100% right.
So here's my question. Do you think others are brought up that way?
No. It's the Jackson brand. Like, we're not satisfied with what we have in terms of career-wise. And I just think
so that... You don't think most people think like that? I think you're right. I don't know.
I've seen a lot of content people with hitting goal. Like when we were doing really well, I was not content at all. And I think I saw our peers and they were content. They were living it up. They were, enjoying parties and stuff like that. And, for me, it was always like, well, we're not here yet.
Yes.
And that's the difference.
Yes. So what was the original point you were going to make?
Oh, just basically.
Oh, career wise is something that you still feel like.
Yeah, but I've come to realize that will never be the case, because it'll always be something, whether it's music or film, it'll always be something that I'm striving for.
And is it always related to career?
In terms of not getting.
Yeah, always feeling like it's a moving target.
Career. But that's also a good thing because it keeps me motivated.
Okay.
So I'm not mad at that.
Okay.
In terms of life, yeah, I mean, having a baby was the most important thing for me. And it was something that I decided, okay, this is the right time to do it. And it happened. So that is for something completely different, but changed my life. But that is the highlight of those 3 years. Yeah.
Good, man.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you one more question. I feel like this is turning into a Taj interview.
That's all right.
Because you're not asking me. You're not asking me any questions.
I know everything about it.
So I might as well keep asking you.
You're the host. You're supposed to ask the questions.
So now I'm the host that I have. And then what would you be?
Huh?
What would that make you?
The hired gun.
The hired gun.
The comic relief. I don't know. The Robin to your Howard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Robin to my Batman. Either way you want to say.
No, I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay, Taj, 5 years. What's your main goal?
What?
I shouldn't say it that way. What's something you want to do in 5 years that you think about, that you want to do?
See, the interesting thing with me is that there's life and then there's career. And those two things are separate. They've always been separate. It's not like you saying that you have to say, is it for in my career
either
or
way.
My life?
Either way.
Because in my life, I want to have more kids.
Okay.
In career, it would be film and, 3T.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Okay.
Simple.
You're not asking for a lot.
Never have. Never have.
Okay. What else, Taj?
What about you?
For what?
Life and career.
Life and career, 5 years?
Yeah. You can't say you want to be like me, because... Like you're old enough.
I can honestly say that has never crossed my mind. No, there's obviously some qualities I do wish I had more of. And one that, reflecting back, that I think I've said this before.
Yeah, yeah.
I really respect your perspective on failing and messing up. And I think that's class. I still have an issue with a part of the philosophy, but I think the bulk of the philosophy is correct.
Thank you.
And that's something that I will say that you were right on that I wasn't right on. And I'm referring specifically to an actual show. Was this even on our Jackson's Next Generation show? But anyway, there was a show performance we did where there was a couple of things that could have been better. Mm-hmm. And Taj's philosophy was that it's over, it's done with, move on. And Terrell and I were more on the page of we need to dissect it and relive it and re-experience it. And it's interesting because I still go back and forth, but I have way more patience and perspective for your philosophy on that.
Well, the only difference was that I really do believe you need to acknowledge it. Like, you need to know. Like, if I mess up on stage and I don't know I messed up, then I'll be like, okay, what did I do? But if I know, like, I screwed up that one time, like, you did it.
This is, okay, first of all, that's all, I'm with you there. The only issue I had with that, I feel that there are
rehashing.
Not rehashing, because I just feel there's different ways to kind of re-study that, whether it's rewatch. Like, perfect example is, you knew you messed up, but you were unwilling to watch the tape, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was the bulk of it. And my philosophy is, I don't think you need to watch tape over and over and over, but I still do feel there's a lot of value in seeing it, because I think you will learn even more than that. And your philosophy goes, I don't even need to rewatch it. It's over, it's done, it's move it forward.
Let me explain baseball.
Go ahead.
If you strike out and you pulled your head, do I really need to see myself strike, swing, and swing and miss it?
And
you know what you did wrong.
People, our foreign listeners, pulling your head is something you don't want to do.
It's
throwing your head. Oh, it's not watching
it's not
the ball
focusing
all
on the ball.
The way until contact.
Yeah,
I still think there's a value in watching it, even if it's one time.
Psychologically, no.
See, and you are like, it's over, done with, I know it. See, then what would you be your argument on why teams study film or watch tape?
I think it's good to watch your opponent more than anything. Like that, because that's, you know, and if you've played a game with that opponent and you've made, then it's like, okay, we're going to do this differently next time. But I don't think it's good to, like, for my kid, I'm not going to, like, if she fails at something, I'm not going to make her watch it again. Because then it's like, if she doesn't know what she did, I'll go, look, see how you did this wrong or whatever. But if she does know, and she's like, you know.
It's a fine line, because I'm not saying you're sitting down and watching this.
Watch this 100 times and tell me when
I don't want people to think I'm taking that position. I just think there is a value
to studying something that, yeah,
that 100%. You could get better at. Yeah. But either way, I respect your ability to let it go, let it be water under the bridge and move forward. Because I think, and what I didn't understand at that time, which I do understand now, there's a strong value in being able to rebound quick. Because if you let a failure or a setback eat you up, it will actually mess with your mindset to the point where it becomes a crutch. It becomes like a crippling thing on the future ones.
Yeah. Well, and that's been my whole case. Like, I cracked one time in Words Without Meaning back in 95, and every performance after that I cracked because it became a crippling thing. Mm. I was like, don't crack, you know. And I was like, so once you do that, like, it's your mind. And so since then I'm like, you know, now I've learned life goes on. So it either happens or it doesn't happen.
You know? And has that helped you with your cracking?
Yeah, because the cracking was psychological.
Yes.
I've never cracked, you know, in performance before that. But once it happened, that was it.
I think that's very important.
And what helps is because of the internet, you see other people crack. I've seen the best of the best crack.
Yeah.
You know, Freddie Mercury, you know, I saw who I think is one of the most amazing singers ever.
Yeah.
And his Saturday Night Live performance was, I don't want to say horrible, but it wasn't anything that you would not want someone to say, this is Queen. Yeah. This is Freddie Mercury.
I got to watch that.
It made me feel human. Like, oh, wow. Even the best of the best has a bad day.
That's very important, Taj. It's very important. And it's so interesting you say that, because with me and my lyrics, it's something that I think is psychological.
Yeah, I've told you that.
So, It's you know what? It's partially psychological, and it's partially me not focusing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me. I shouldn't say that, but I think it's those two things. And it's something I'm going to work on.
It's a combination of the
because
two.
Now it's gotten to the point where it's a challenge, and I want to succeed, and I want to beat this challenge.
Yeah.
But it's a real issue for me.
Yeah.
All right, Taj. So we're going to wrap up the show, but before we're already out of time. But before we do, I want to recap on the five we did cover. 10 steps to making a successful fresh start. We covered five. Number one, remember you're not a tombstone. Remember, you can change. You can improve. Just because, you know, you were one way doesn't mean you are fixed to be that way for the rest of your life. Remember that. There's only two things. One is debatable, that's fixed, and that is your birth date. And the debatable one is your name, because as Taj pointed out, you can change your name.
Yes, you can.
So remember, people, you are not stuck in anything in life. You can be and do whatever you want to become. Okay, number two, judge yourself less harshly. This is a big one. Something I've gotten way better at myself personally. I used to be my worst critic, really hard, expectations incredibly high. And then it's great to have high expectations, but if you don't hit it, what happens is you start feeling down on yourself, and that can actually mess up future performances or future success. So have those goals, have high aims, but if you come short, do not crucify yourself.
Yeah.
Be chill on it. Number three, get a feel for the new you. Imagine what you will look like, talk like, and how you will feel. Look at your surroundings and who people you are going to be with. Just be you. You know, imagine that new person and make a vision that inspires you so that you can aspire to be that thing. You know, just first it's got to start with your mindset and what you want to become. You got to be able to see that and then manifest it by always being on that, keeping it in your forefront. Number four, set your goals. I believe in goal setting. Taj likes to call it target setting, which either way I'm cool with. just make sure you set a goal and make sure you aspire to be something, and make sure you have an aspiration. And again, if you fall short on that goal, don't be your worst critic. Don't beat yourself up. Be hard on yourself. Want to be better. Want to improve. But don't be to the point where you'll cripple yourself and make yourself fearful for trying again, which is something I think a lot of people struggle with. I was going to say myself included, but I actually don't know. I think I'm pretty good at resetting. And then the fifth one is research, which is actually one that I think goes under the radar a lot, but I think is very important. Whatever you want to do and be for the new year, research and study people who are there. There's nothing wrong with asking questions to people who have achieved what you want to achieve. There's nothing wrong with spending more time than just a hello, goodbye, or a dinner. Really see what it's like. If you want to be, again, like we said, a lawyer or an entrepreneur or a writer, a book writer, a novelist, or a script writer, whatever, try to find someone who's actually doing that and really try to pick their brain to the point where you're staying with them more than 1 hour a day, mm-hmm. whether it's interning for them for a week. Tell them you'll basically do whatever they need for a week to figure out and just to soak up information. That's the best way to become what you want to be. And to wrap up the show, Taj, you have anything else you want to say?
No, it's January 1st, 2020. Wish everyone an incredible year.
Yeah.
And of happiness, mainly.
Taj, there was nothing on Twitter that was worth...
You know, there was a couple things, but they required about 5 minutes of talking.
Okay.
And I knew we were pressed for time.
Okay. Well, to everyone who did comment on Twitter, thank you for
your comments. I liked a lot of them. I like
and you retweet, saw yeah. Okay. With that said, there is one quote I want to see, or I think we should say, and that was from Always Ship Love, who tweeted us at DDJ Foundation. She said her favorite quote has always been, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Something to keep in mind when reaching for any goal or target, mind frame is half the battle. Mm-hmm. With that said, we should leave it there. Remember, you guys, we're all going to have setbacks.
Yep.
We're all going to have obstacles and failures and struggles, but do not let that define you. It's part of life. It's part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And make sure your mindset, as Always Ship Love has mentioned in the quote, make sure your mindset is strong and optimistic and ready for any new challenge.
Yep.
All right. So with that said, we are going to take off and enjoy the rest of the New Year's Day. Until next week, you guys have a wonderful week. I hope your holiday season was wonderful. And Happy New Year. Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.